See, the consequence of that is he gives grace. He gives grace. Okay? It's just like the two gas stations, right? I have a choice. I can do whatever I want. It's my car. And so it is in this situation, I can choose to walk in pride, and then I need to live with the consequences of that. Or, I think a better choice is to walk in humility and receive the grace of God that he wants to give to me. Amen? So let's talk about pride and humility for just a second. You know, I've actually shared out of this text not too long ago, and you know, sometimes the Lord will keep bringing us back to a certain topic or a certain theme, and it's in his grace that he does that. It's not that he forgot that he shared it, you know, last month. It's that maybe we haven't gotten it yet. And in his grace, he gives us another opportunity. And so I'm believing that as he comes with his sweet presence, amen, that we're going to engage and get some understanding that he wants us to get today. Amen. So again, just real quick, pride, if you go back into the Greek, it kind of has this connotation that I put myself up here and I put everything else kind of down the list a bit, including God. I'm up here as a priority, and God is not up here. He's down here somewhere. And people are down here, and other things. My family is down here. Because I am the most important, I'm maybe the top three most important people in my life. If I'm walking in extreme pride, right? I'm up here, everything else is down here. And of course, humility is the opposite of that. Humility, if I'm putting God first in my life, if he's the priority, if his way of thinking is most important to me, how he looks at a matter, that's most important to me, and I'm placing him up there, then I choose to come under him. I am humbling myself and coming under him. Amen? And so the way that he thinks about the matter, if I think about it differently, what am I going to do if I'm walking in humility? Am I going to say, no, my way of looking at it, Lord, is here. You're going to need to come under me. You're going to need to change your mind about the matter. No, that's absurd to even say, and it's prideful is what it is. But if I'm walking in humility, God sees a matter this way. If I'm walking in humility, I will come under and submit to how he sees the matter. You say, well, of course, Kurt. Yeah, that's what we should do. Now, here's the deal. Sometimes, you know, it's just a very flagrant matter of pride that we would put our way of thinking up here and his down here. But how many of you know, sometimes it's what we have learned over a lifetime that causes us to see a matter differently from how God sees it. And it's not that I'm trying to just openly defy the Lord. It's just that my experience has been very different from how he sees the matter. You got what I'm saying? Like, say a child growing up has an alcoholic father or an absentee father or somebody who is just gripped by betting. And you know, if you grow up in that household, if you grow up in that family, you're going to learn some things over time that you wouldn't in a family where there is a healthy father who's not, you know, in bondage to those things. Amen? And it's not to make excuses, but it's just my experience has been very different, Lord, from you. My experience has been when something needs to happen in my life, I cannot depend on my father to do it for me. He's not reliable. He's proven over and over again that he's not going to provide for me. And when the chips are down, I can't look to him. That's what this person has learned over time. And then they get born again, and the word tells them, my God shall provide all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And is that a familiar idea or concept to the person that grew up in the dysfunctional home? No. But they can end up at the same place. Because my experience says this is the way you look at the matter. God's word says something else, and I'm putting it down here. Can you see how it's the same thing? It's the same thing to say that it's really prideful to say that this is what I've experienced, so this is how it is. It would be walking in humility to say, God, this is how you see the matter. You say you're a good father. You say you're going to provide for me. And although that has not been my experience for all of my life, I will choose to humble myself and come under and change my way of thinking. Despite my experience in life, I will humble myself and yield to how you see the matter. We submit ourselves to Him, but do we submit our way of thinking to Him as well? And that's what we want to look at this morning. If you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, just keep going toward the end of your Bible just a little bit. It's on page 1914 if you need any help getting there. So 1 Peter chapter 5. Am I going to need to? Yeah. Okay. Time out. Hold on. Technical difficulty. You know. So here we are in 1 Peter. Is that good? Okay. 1 Peter, what'd I say, chapter 5. Okay, so, and we'll start in verse 5 as well. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I think we just heard that in James, right? Yeah. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Isn't that good? I just believe that the sweetness of His presence is coming and that we're going to get a revelation of what it means to resist the devil, to submit ourselves to God, to cast our cares upon Him. Bless you, for He cares for us. His sweet presence is coming to open up revelation to us. We're not going to be the same walking out these doors as we were when we came in this morning. Amen? I just believe His presence, His Spirit, is doing a work in us. Oh, so we heard that earlier. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Originally, we see that mention in Proverbs chapter 3. It's verse 34. In the version I have, the New King James, I think it uses scornful. He resists the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. It's the same idea. And that's where James and Peter were quoting this from the prophet, or from Proverbs, I should say. And so, and of course, that's Proverbs chapter 3, that the beginning of that chapter is so amazing. Of course, that's where, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Of course, we get that from the beginning of chapter 3 of Proverbs, and it is so applicable here in God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Despite what I think I know, despite what my experience is, I will humble myself and come under God's way of seeing a matter, God's way of thinking. That's exactly what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is talking about. Amen? And so that's what God is calling us to do. So we put ourselves in one of two positions based on our choice. We can either choose to walk in pride, and God will resist us, or we can choose to walk in humility, and God gives grace to us. Either way, we make the choice of what we will receive from God. Resistance or grace. It's up to me alone. It's up to each of us alone. Nobody can make that decision for us. Amen? It's our choice. So how will we choose? Sometimes it is very challenging to see a matter the way that God sees it. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Because sometimes the way Jesus sees the matter is so out of the box, is so otherworldly, is so nothing we have ever experienced. And yet he's calling us to submit, to humble ourselves, and to come into agreement with the way that he sees the matter. Matthew chapter 14, we'll start in verse 13. A very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, "When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." Verse 15, "When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food.'" Now, we read that, and to my way of thinking, everything seems pretty reasonable up to that point, right? All these people came out and followed Jesus. He had compassion. He taught. He healed. There was a mighty move of God there. And then guys started to notice, hey, it's getting late in the day. We're out here. There's no restaurants around. There's no delis. There's no, you know, these people are going to start getting hungry. Let's do the reasonable thing, and let's kind of wrap things up so that these people can go out. I mean, there's 5,000 men alone. There might be 15,000 or more people there. Like, it would be irresponsible to just keep them here, and they're hungry. I mean, we don't want people passing out on us, right? We don't want people falling asleep on us. Like, let's think about them. Let's consider their needs. Let's send them away so that they can go in the surrounding regions, get something to eat, and kind of make arrangements for themselves. That seems very logical and very reasonable. And so when they came to Jesus with this idea, he came back with something. Well, let's just read it. Verse 16, "But Jesus said to them, 'They do not need to go away.'" Huh? What do you mean they don't need to go away? Jesus went on to say, "You give them something to eat." We give them something to eat? What are you talking about? You know there's 15,000 people here, right? We're going to give them something to eat? What does that look like? How's that going to work? Just to kind of put it in terms that we can kind of get a hold of, I went online and a Filet-O-Fish sandwich, okay? That's fish and some bread. That's what they were fed. A Filet-O-Fish sandwich at McDonald's costs $3.79, okay? So if you do some simple math and you take that $3.79 without tax and multiply it by maybe the 15,000 people that were there, you get a grand total of $56,850. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't walk around with $56,850 in my wallet usually. No. Actually, never. Right? And Jesus said, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." And can you imagine the calculations and the math that starts going in their minds right away? $56,850. That's what it's going to cost to just give them a sandwich. Like some big guys, that's not going to fill them up, right? I mean, that's like an appetizer at best. They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. And so here we're at this place where we can either choose pride or we can choose humility. And I'm not saying that this is an easy choice for them. And I'm not saying that the Lord won't ask us to do things that seem very challenging at times. But we have a choice to make. We can say, "We don't have enough to do that. I've never seen this done before in my life. It can't be done." Well, just because you never saw it done before doesn't mean that it can't happen, right? With God, some things are possible. All things are possible. Even $56,850 is possible. Evidently, Jesus thought it was. But I have a choice to make. Am I going to choose to say, for these reasons, I can't go with you there, Jesus, and so your idea is going to have to be secondary to mine? Or will we choose to say, I don't know where you're getting this. I know you only say those things you hear your father say. You only do those things you see your father do. Evidently, you and Papa have conferred, and this is what he wants to do. It makes no sense in my mind. I do not see how it can work. Nevertheless, I will choose to humble myself and come under your way of thinking. And I would submit to us, when we do that, when we choose to do that, that we will see God do amazing things in our lives, just like he did an amazing thing on this day. Amen? When it doesn't make sense, when we've never seen it happen like that before, but because you said, Jesus, I'll submit to that. When we do that, we put ourselves in a position to see the hand of God move in a way that will amaze us and amaze others as well. And the flip side is true as well. When we are hard and fast, I am not going to yield to that. That's just craziness. We'll miss out on the blessing, and the 15,000 people will miss out on the blessing as well. I don't want that. I don't want that. What are we going to choose to do in those times when the Lord even asks us to do something that we think is impossible? Now, fortunately, Jesus didn't allow their logic and their reason to shut this thing down. He said, have them sit down, put them in I think, groups of 100 or something. We're going to do this. This is going to happen. I know you don't think it can happen. I know you think I'm crazy, but it's going to happen. And today, and that day, there was a mighty move of God. And all 15,000 and more not only had a sandwich, but they were all filled. They were not only all filled, there was 12 big baskets of it left over afterwards. And it all started from 5 loaves and 2 fish. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. He can do it if we will choose to humble ourselves and submit to what he's asking us to do. But the opposite is true as well. When we will not yield, when we will not submit to the word of the Lord, and we put his word down here, and we put our thinking, our logic, our reasoning up here, we can possibly shut it all down. And not only do we not get blessed, but the people don't get blessed as well. Who? I don't want that to happen. I have a couple great examples of people who have chosen to yield, to submit, to humble themselves to the way that God sees the matter. I remember a story years ago. There was a man who had a high level of anxiety. You know, like if you say, like, where's your anxiety on a scale from 0 to 10, 10 being the worst, 0 being nothing. He lived at like a 6 or 7. That was his starting point. So when he had some anxiety in his life, it didn't take very long till he was at 10. You know, people who have no anxiety in their life, they got a long way to go to get to 10. But this guy, he lived at 6 or 7. And so when something seemingly minor happened, boom, he was at 10 just like that. Well, this guy realized that he lived with this. And without going into all the details, let me just say he engaged in some sozo ministry, some inner healing ministry. And he was able to get freedom from that anxiety. And I remember him saying afterwards, oh, this is what it's like to not live with a 6 or 7 level anxiety. And he was so thankful that he was willing to humble himself and to submit to God's way of thinking. He came into this place where he could cast all his cares upon him because he knew that God cared for him. And so he wasn't walking around at a 6 or 7 anxiety level anymore. It was much lower than that. Why? Because he was willing to walk in humility. Because he was willing to submit to what God said was true in his life. Tragically, there's another story that I have to share about a pastor who, in the midst of a SOZO session, and just for those of you who maybe aren't too familiar with SOZO, it's like an inner healing prayer ministry. And we don't counsel, we don't coach, it's nothing like that. It is totally led by God. Holy Spirit leads us to the topics and the issues that need to be addressed. And it's just like this prayer that facilitators lead this person in, and God speaks some truth to them. And so we were in the midst of this SOZO session with this pastor, and Holy Spirit spoke to this pastor, this leader, that he wanted to bless this man financially. Now, if the Lord spoke that to any of us, we'd be like, yeah, yippee, do it, Lord. Bring it, Lord, right? And amazingly, this pastor's reaction was the opposite. No, I don't want the Lord to bless me that way. I don't want him to bless me with finances. And here's the reasons why. Because of so-and-so, the Lord blessed him, and he fell into sin. And there was like this list of reasons that this pastor gave, which was contrary to what the Lord was speaking to him in the midst of the SOZO session. And so, based on his decision, on his choice, he was foregoing the financial blessing that the Lord wanted to bring into his life. And oh, by the way, he was also foregoing the single mother that he could have blessed as well. He was also foregoing the ministry that he could have sown into financially to help get homeless people off the streets. He was also foregoing, you get the idea? It wasn't a decision that just affected him. Because he was not willing to submit and come under what the Lord wanted to do in his life, bless him financially, he forewent all that stuff. Tragically. Tragically. So my question to us this morning is, what areas do we have that we read in Scripture or the Lord speaks to our heart something different than how we see the matter? What areas is the Lord putting his finger on where our way of thinking doesn't line up with his way of thinking? And then I'm asking us, what are we going to do with that? Are we going to say, no, my way of seeing it, Lord, is right. I'm not going to submit to your way of thinking. Well, God resists the proud, so that's where you're going to be. If I can just be bold, if I can just be blunt and put it that way. Or are we going to choose to say, I don't understand it quite. It hasn't been my experience. But because you're saying this to me, Lord, I'm going to submit and come under your way of seeing the matter, your way of thinking. And again, when we choose to do that, we receive the grace that he wants to give us. Amen? And so, again, as his sweet presence has come to us today, I believe that there are going to be those of us who maybe would have put up the walls before, but because of his sweet presence, we're able to give God our yes this morning. We're able to say, yes, I'm going to submit and humble myself and come under your way of thinking, Lord. And yes, I'm going to be able to receive the grace that you have for me in that place. We're going to wrap up here in just a moment. We're going to spend some time, just a few minutes, waiting on the Lord. But I just, going back to 1 Peter, this is such a model for us. Some of us like to have kind of a sequential, step-by-step way of doing things, right? And just what an amazing kind of set of steps to take, where we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt us in due time, where we are casting all of our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. Where we, first of all, we're starting with, we're resisting walking in pride. We're resisting saying, oh, this is what I know about the matter, this is my experience. We're resisting that. We're resisting that work that the enemy wants to do, that doubt that he wants to sow into our lives. We're resisting that, and we're submitting to God. And then, again, sometimes it's like feeding the 5,000. I don't know how you're going to do this, but I'm saying yes to you. And then we cast all of our cares upon him. So we're resisting what we know is not of God. We're submitting to God, step two. And then when there's still some concerns, we're casting all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. And he will help us walk through that transition. And we'll be able to receive the blessing that he has for us and for so many others as well as we do that. Amen? So actually, why don't you stay seated for just a moment. We're going to wrap up here with just a short time of prayer. And then when we're done, if you have would like some personal ministry, we'll have some folks up here who would love to pray for you as well. But let's just bow our heads. And Lord, we just thank you that your word is quick and powerful, that it's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts right to the chase. It reveals our heart. It reveals where we are. It shows us things not in an attempt to destroy us or take us down further, but in an attempt to help bring us up. Help bring us into agreement with you. Help us to be reconciled to you. Help us to walk in the blessing that you have for us. And so, Lord, would you just speak to each heart this morning? Would you just come with your sweet presence, your irresistible sweet presence, and speak to our hearts? Those areas where we're not lining up with you, where we're not lining up with your truth. Thank you for this amazing invitation that you're giving to us to come up, to step into something more that you have for us. And so, Lord, as you speak to hearts, that you would help us to put feet to that word then, that we would be actively pursuing this exchange of how we see the matter, which is contrary to you, and coming into alignment and into agreement with how you see the matter, and submitting ourselves to your way of thinking on the matter. Come, Holy Spirit, do this work in us that only you can do. Do this work in us that will wipe out perhaps years of abuse in our hearts. Come bring healing in areas that need to be healed before we can hope to step into your truth. Come by your sweet presence and touch us, Lord. And I just encourage you this morning, throughout the afternoon, throughout this coming week, as the Lord speaks to your heart, that you would do something with it. Write it down. Talk to a friend about it. Talk to a leader about it. That you wouldn't just be a hearer of the word, but that you would be doing something about it as well. And so, Lord, we just bless what you're doing in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.